The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience, Dr. Dave's devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but a merry heart does make like medicine, and a doctor spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. That's right. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Never forget, news, no matter what it is, news with an agenda is propaganda. That's the reality. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? That's simple, because if I stayed at home, I would still talk this much. So you might as well be annoyed while I'm doing it. There you go. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk hope with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian, you know, that thingy, like, do we operate, and I love this one, do we operate in his appointment or disappointment? Because, you see, it's only a difference of one letter between his appointment and disappointment. So is the thwarting of our purpose God's better choice for us while we think it's disappointment? And it's actually his appointment. Which one do we operate in? Hey, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We find that to be sad. We want you to reach out to us. We love that. Don't hesitate. You can call us at 972-445-0770. Now, whether it's 1130 in San Diego or 1134 or 134 here in Dallas, doesn't matter. You can still call us live during the show, Friday the 13th, right here. 972-445-0770. I will tell you this, though. When you get ready and you get into that bravery mode and you make that phone call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like a peaceful day and evening with no drama. Oh, my goodness. That's,
thank you, David.
Yep, you're welcome, buddy. We need that, don't we, though? No drama.
Oh, yeah. Always.
we need a little bit of less drama and a little bit more chillaxing.
Yes, we do.
Excellent.
Happy Friday, and are you ready for the weekend?
I am so ready. It's not funny. It's kind of sad in its own little way, but yes, I am ready for the weekend. I'm sure many people are. Now, it's sad for other people who have to work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they get like Monday, Tuesday, if I understand that. But that's not the case here for the show. And I am just ready. This is kind of like the word. I'm looking for the word. Ready is the word. That's it right there. All right, here we go. So if you've got something you want to call and talk about, we want you to reach out to us. You call. It won't really hurt you. I don't think it'll shock you or anything weird like that. You're allowed to do it. It's okay. We're going to also give you an opportunity to text as well as send an email and go to the website. But I want to say this real quickly. We're going to be praying for a brother who's had some serious illness. We're going to do that in a little bit. And we're going to be praying for also marriages for the people and relationships for the people in our audience. What we're going to do is we're going to ask God this, please help. We're going to have faith doing it, but we're going to offer it up with a reverent heart, so to speak, in the way that the Lord knows what we're thinking, what we're processing. He knows where our hearts and minds are at. We submit all things to Him. But we still come boldly to the throne of grace. And we're going to do that in just a minute. In the meantime, if you either want to call us or you want to text us, you can do that by texting, by the way, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. I just want to do it in a non-professional voice, which I'm really good at, the non-pro voice. Here we go.
214-210-8483.
Very NPR-ish, isn't it? Anyhow, you can also send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, so the little A with the circle around it, the goofy thing, hemustincrease.org. He must increase is based on the John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease, which is what John the Baptist said. So we want to operate in that, and so you can send us an email during the show, you can text us during the show, you can also call us during the show. We're also going to send you up to the website. On the website, there are many things, including an address in regards to the attacks on Israel. That's the position we take. If you don't like it or you don't like us, don't listen. There, that'll work. And then additionally, what we're asking for you to do is check out the website. There's different things on there all the time that I don't even announce. So it'd be good to kind of peruse it and figure it all out. Also is an opportunity to partner with us. If you want to partner with us in prayer, please do. We ask that as the number one priority. If you can partner with us financially, please do. That's another large priority we have. If you go on the site, there's a little donate here button. It's a little red button. It's not hard to see. The scripture for donating and partnering today comes out of Deuteronomy 15:10. Give generously to the needy and do not let your heart be grieved when you do so. And because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything to which you put your hand. That's pretty cool. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent ya.
That's a new one for Jennifer, and that is outstanding. Jennifer, mega props to you. That is hilarious. I know exactly what that's from. We do have somebody who's calling, so I think we'll probably do that before we do the prayer, so because I don't know what they're going to want yet, so let's let them call in. Let's go ahead and send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Sergio again.
Hey, Sergio. How are you, bro?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Just hanging in there. Doing good. Ready for the weekend. Ready to hear that the Lions will do well. And ready for things to happen well on the weekend.
I hear you. Hey, so really quickly here. So you know that I'm basically starting at Genesis, and I've got a question for you. But, not really a question. I just really wanted to get your take on this.
Okay.
So it mentions, I think, in the first or second chapter, they actually mentioned something that exists today, which is the Euphrates River and the Tigris River or something like that?
Correct.
Okay. So my question to you, or I guess I'd like to get your take on this. So it says that those rivers, they like started in Eden or in the Garden of Eden. So would it be safe to say that the Garden of Eden was in that part of the world?
Yes. Okay.
What's your take on that? And, I'll let you answer, and have a great weekend, and thank you for all you do.
All right, brother. God bless you. All right, so Sergio asked another great question. Why? Because he is apt to do so, and that's one of the gifts that I think the Lord has in his life as he really zeroes in. So there are mentions of rivers in regards to the Garden of Eden. So I want to give you a couple of different theological backgrounds without going into too far in depth, but there are people that believe that that Eden was an area, and this is scholars, and there's nothing wrong with these beliefs. It's not like, oh, that's right, that's wrong. It's like, meh, who knows? But there's these many people that believe that Eden was an area, and within the area of Eden was a garden. Okay, and I know a lot of people don't think of it in those terms, but that is definitely a possibility, that the possibility exists that there was an actual, you know, kind of more of a geographical Eden, and then within the framework of that Eden is the Garden of Eden. Okay, that's number one. Number two, there are rivers that are associated that we have some identification with, but those identifications can give us some landmarks to say, well, it could be from this area to this area, from point 15 on the scale to point 26, degree this. It could be in that area. That is also correct and a possibility. However, when Adam and Eve sinned and they were driven out of the garden was made inaccessible. And there was a cherub that was put in there with a flaming sword to protect it. That's the part where you come into it and you go, well, it could be in that area, or it could be somewhere else that we're not pinpointing. We're not going to get to know now because it's protected from sinful eyes. So no person can lay hold of the Garden of Eden apart from being connected to Jesus Christ. They can't seize it or see it, and will not be able to until the Lord makes it revealed yet again. So it is likely in that area, but it could be, and people are going to hate this when I say this, but don't get mad at me. It's not my theory, but it is a possibility. It could be within the earth framework, but in a different style of dimension. We just don't know, but it's hidden. And the only access now to the garden is through Jesus Christ. See that? Oh, that's just like, oh yeah, that's cool. That's just cool stuff. And it's like, well, what does that mean? Well, I think, and this is not, again, not a professional opinion. It's your big brother's opinion. I got an opinion. I got a brother. He has opinions. I don't like his opinions because they're not mine. But that's not the point. The point is simply this. The point is, I think when it's all said and done and we come back and there's a new heavens and a new earth, there will be a new garden or the same garden revealed. And that'll be cool. Whatever we didn't do that we were supposed to do the first time around, it's quite possible we'll end up doing it again. That would be cool. I mean, I'd like to see what God had in mind. Could be things way beyond our imagination. It's going to be things way beyond our imagination. But it's just cool to think about. Okay? Now, in lieu of that, in understanding that, as you read and get into Scripture, you have to understand that the garden is in the beginning. There's a garden in the middle where Jesus is at Gethsemane. And in the end, in Revelation, there's a garden. There is a garden in your future. And it is one in which the Lord dwells. And so what's cool for us is to understand the redemption, the comeback that we're going to encounter when we come back to the garden of God. It's just like, oh, that's cool. All right, who doesn't think that's awesome? And we're not talking about a garden where everybody's just sleeping on a rock. Will you guys stop doing that? That wasn't even the case with Adam and Eve because they were supposed to keep the garden, which means they were working it. Okay, that's what it was. So they weren't just sitting around going, hey, look at the bamboo. I mean, that's not what was going on. Okay, just trying to help you there. All right, so with that in mind, I'm gonna take a kind of a pause. And the reason I want to take this pause is because I want to pray for this young man, this gentleman named Eric Williams, who has had a stroke in the last little bit. And that's horrible. I mean, strokes are, it's very serious, right? And so this is a friend of Brother Ronnie, and we just want to pray for Eric. We want to ask God to bring healing into Eric Williams' life. and bring a restoration into his life. So take your faith, take the 25 cents of faith you have. I'll take my 25 cents. Everybody will take their 25 cents. We'll put it together and put all those faiths together and have a couple of dollars or a couple of $100 or a couple of $1,000 worth of faith. And we'll bring it before the Lord and ask for his help. Let's do it right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, we come before you now with thanksgiving in our heart in everything. Your word teaches us clearly, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You told us that. So we come to you with a thanksgiving heart. And we say to you, because you are gracious, because you are Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals, because of the stripes that were laid on the back of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2:24. Because of that, we come to you and we say the same thing Moses said in Numbers 12:13. Please, Lord, heal. Please. We're asking you to bring healing for Eric, for him, for his family, for the struggles, the troubles, and everything else they're going through, Lord. We're asking for a physical healing for his body. He needs recovery from this, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus to bring healing power into Eric Williams. We cannot do it, but we can believe with enough faith that it can be done by you. Bring that healing power. Touch that man. Touch him. Strengthen him and help him. Help that family. Lord, help all our families. We've got people who are struggling with marriages, struggling with so many different things, struggling with relationships, struggling with finances, not enough to make it go around. Lord, we need your help. We need your power. We need your anointing. We need your assistance as we're doing this journey. The enemy is rearing his head all over the place. And Lord, without you, we can't defeat him. But in you, we can go through and endure and overcome everything. So help us to do that and to stay steadfast in you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. That will get the prayer rolling and going. A great question opening by Sergio. Let's give you a chance to respond to trivia. We think this is a worthwhile adventure in the sense that we want you to understand the Word of God. How old was Jesus when he was questioned by the doctors of the law when he went to the temple? When he was asking questions and they were asking questions of him, how old was he? Was he 14, 10, or 12 years old? Was Jesus 14, 10, or 12 years old when he went with his folks to Jerusalem and he ended up at the temple? How old was he? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we're asking, when Jesus went to the temple, folks went to, they went every year as their custom was, okay? And he went there. How old was he when that happened? This is the same story where they lost him. Okay, they didn't lose him. They just thought he was with the family. He wasn't really with the family. He was there at the temple. How old was Jesus when that took place? Was he 14, 10, or 12? You have just a little bit more time if you want to text in, because we do have somebody ready to make the call. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I'm feeling good. I feel bad for Eric and the Williams, and that's why we prayed for him and just really wanted the Lord to heal him. And I've been a little burdened for our audience and would like people to know this. For some of the marriages that are going on, there's some struggles, big struggles for people. And a burden in that, but also joyful in the Lord at the same time. So the difference between the burden and the joy, you know, it's kind of how you walk it. So how are you feeling?
I'll keep praying for you. I prayed for you yesterday, and I'll pray. Continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother. And we greatly appreciate it, and we greatly
your family.
Yeah.
And your family.
Yeah, and they need it. I mean, Julianne needs it. I don't have as much faith as my daughter. I do radio, and so I'm on the air, and it's cool. I don't have the faith level she does. She's better at faith than I am. I'm very impressed with her. It's just like amazing. Okay, brother, here we go. How old was Jesus when he was questioning the doctors of the law and they were talking to him? Was he 14, 10, or 12?
He was 12.
That is correct, Amundo! He was 12 years old! Imagine a 12, just think about that, a 12-year-old, and there's all these really smart people, and he's like going, what about this? What about this? What about this? I think that must have been an amazing moment where they're all going, where's this kid coming from? That must have been powerful. Hey, let me pray a blessing over you, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. I love it. Let's do it. Father, we come before you, and I ask you to bless my brother Gary. He needs healing, too. Now, we're burdened here for Eric because he's going through a stroke, and that's heavy on our hearts. But we are asking you to bless and heal our brother. He needs it no less. And so we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to bring healing into Gary's body because that healing will be testified from the rooftops. And we have full confidence in that, and glory will be given to your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen,
thank
brother.
You, and I'll continue to pray for all of you and your family and your listeners and everything.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so
God
much.
God bless you now.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Gary's just a great guy, right? Just fantastic. Okay. Now, I'm going to use this last little bit. I am going to teach this little bit on this portion. It's in James. We're actually in James, which is ironic. I'm not going to do the whole thing that I was going to teach. I'm going to pick it up literally from verse 6. And what you have to love is this absolute straightforwardness of James. In verse 6, he says, after he says verse 5, if you lack wisdom, he should ask God. Anyone who lacks wisdom should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Verse 6, but he must ask in faith, without doubting, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, for he's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. This is James. He's so forward about the way he presents his epistle. It's so straight in your face. And it's quite a bit of excellency because he's saying, hey, if you're going to ask God, then ask with faith and not with doubting. If you're going to come to the Lord and you're going to doubt before you even do it, you better recognize you're cutting off your own process. You're not expecting to receive anything, and you can pretty much count on that. You won't. Doubt destroys faith. And faith destroys doubt. It only matters on which one you choose. Did you hear what I just said? Oh, what? What do you mean, Dave? Well, if you go through the 9 fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, you know, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Actually, none of those fruits are faith. Faithfulness is reliability, or somebody you can count on. That's not actually faith. Faith is a decision that you make to believe. And when we don't operate in that faith, what then are we operating in? And that's doubt. And that's a decision that we've made. And here's the sad testimony in that. There's people that operate in this level of doubt where they don't really get anything from the Lord. And the reason, and when I say anything, the reason is because they're not allowing the faith to be the vehicle which God has chosen for them to receive from the Lord. So because of that, they're not getting the peace that passes all understanding. They're not getting the comfort from God who comforts those who are hurting. They're not growing in grace and mercy. They're just operating in doubt. And when we operate in doubt, we're shutting down the blessings of the graciousness of God, of his presence, of his favor, of his kindness. Let's just be honest. We're putting up a block or a wall against the things the Lord wants to give us. And it's not that God can't override, because sometimes he does, because sometimes we're so dumb we need the help. But the truth is, Jesus didn't do many miracles in his hometown because of their unbelief, and unbelief creates an atmosphere where the Lord's work is not as abundant. And we need to make a decision. And so James isn't even, he's not soft about it. He's like, look, here's how it goes. If you must ask in faith and without doubting, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. When you offer in faith, but you're still operating in doubt, you're like going, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. But the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. It's yes, yes, yes. And we have to choose that. So I know, you know, there are times where the Lord pours faith upon us, and everybody knows that, and it's an awesome experience. But by and large, in your walk and your Christianity, you have to exercise, which means you have to, you know, kind of use your muscles for it, faith. And you got to go, no, I'm going to choose to believe. All the stuff that's going on in the world and all the stuff that comes against it, you know, you're making the decision to go, nope, eternity is where I'm going. I'm going to hang out with God. That's what I'm doing. I'm not going any other direction. That's a decision you made to operate in that faith. That faith opens up that flow of peace and grace and mercy. And sometimes we come before the Lord, and just be honest with me, it'd be kind of fun. And you offer up a prayer, and it dribbles off the left side of your mouth, and you know it's not going anywhere because you don't really believe. Well, why would you expect that to be answered? And even though, ironically, sometimes it is answered, but that's, I think, just sheer mercy. We have to operate in faith. We got to push the doubt out. Use the faith to kill the doubt, and use the faith in your approach with God. Why? Because it pleases Him. And if you please God, you're on the right track, right? I mean, I know we love Him. Let's do what He wants to please Him, right? All right, if you're in San Diego, which we love you, we want you to know, if you want to keep listening, you go to hemusincrease.org and click on the Listen Live button. If you're in Texas or Dallas, just hang out. We're going to take a short break and then come back. We got a phenomenal rest of the show. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I got this morning. And it came from Alice Coleman, and I just want to say, she said it's a praise report to share, so I am assuming it's okay to share, since it's a praise report to share, I kind of go with it. And I want to read it, if that's okay, and I just want you to hear how brothers and sisters petition the Lord, and there's times where God says, yes, listen to this. And she even writes it beautifully. Beautiful job by Alice, by the way. This may seem like a minor issue, but it could have gotten much worse quickly. I'm fostering Mama Cat and her four kittens until they're ready to go to their forever homes. On Tuesday, I got a bit too close to the Mama Cat, and she swatted my hand. I had a few scratches, so I cleaned them up and applied antibiotics. In just a few hours, I had a swollen hand, red with infection, and it spread beyond my wrist. My doctor had same-day appointments if needed. However, I didn't have my car since it was being repaired. The only thing left was for me to pray for healing for my hand. Isn't that amazing that sometimes you're in the position and the only thing left to do is call upon God? She writes, as I watched the infection spread over my hand began to throb. I knew I needed help. I asked God for healing over and over again. On Wednesday, it looked really bad, and I kept asking God for healing. Let me just commend Alice for pushing until something happens. About mid-morning on Wednesday, my hand quit throbbing. Then I noticed that the infection was no longer spreading. Later Wednesday, the infection seemed to be getting smaller. By Wednesday evening, it was definitely clearing up. By bedtime, the infection was gone away. Thursday morning, the infection was completely gone. I praise God for healing the infection. It was only by His intervention that my hand was healed. It's amazing that our great and holy Father can care so much that He is willing to heal a hand infection of one of His children. I think that's a fantastic testimony. So mega props. Mega props to Alice for doing that. Great job. And I hope that was okay that I shared it. And see, the point is, you can pray. You can approach the Lord. And the Lord, you know what? He might say no. I like what Troy said. Sometimes God will say no. It's like, that's the end of it. You're done. But sometimes He allows you to keep petitioning. And the reason He does is because the more you pursue Him, the closer connected to Him you become. And more of your genuine, real faith has to emerge. See, if you just asked and God did it every time you just asked one time, it'd be like God would be like a genie. Well, God's not a genie. He's your heavenly Father. Needs to be pursued. Wants to have a wonderful relationship with you. And so the more you pursue, the more He gets to spend time with you, which is what He wants in the first place, what He wanted with Adam and Eve.
The David Spoon Experience.